I'm proud to say that my name appears on a new book along with Napoleon Hill's name. The book is called Truthful Living, and it's yours for the clicking. It's not just a book. It's the very foundation of Napoleon Hill's self-help legacy. His long-lost original notes, letters, and lectures, now compiled, edited, and annotated for the modern reader.
In Truthful Living, Jeffrey has captured Hill's foundational wisdom for the 21st century. These easy-to-implement, real-world strategies for life, family, business, and the bottom line prove as energizing and inspiring today as they were nearly 100 years ago.
Go to Amazon, click on the link, own the book in any format you like, but read it, study it, and put it into your life.
Time for a sales manager spotlight, brought to you by Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee. And we're going to be talking to some of the world's strongest and smartest sales managers.
What they like, what they fear, how they hire. Doesn't matter if you're a manager, doesn't matter if you're a salesperson, it doesn't even matter if you're just a person. You're going to learn something from these top leaders from around the country.
And with that, it's time to get this week's Sales Manager Spotlight. Let's go to the boss's office. I promise, this time, it won't be scary. Christian Ludwig, at the young age of 24 years old, has already been a top sales rep and has recruited hundreds of college students to make them excellent in sales. When he's not doing that, he's built a serious investment portfolio that has built up over $2 million in assets in just a few short years. Holy moly, Christian. This is amazing.
Diehards, listen up.
Say hello to Christian. Okay, so you've said that having a true sales internship provides an unfair advantage for college business students who are looking for jobs. Why is that?
It's not only my personal opinion, but there are a lot of companies who have done polls on hiring managers, not only for sales positions out of college, but accounting, finance, HR, marketing. And they say the top two skills that college students are lacking coming out of college are one, communication skills, and two, public speaking skills.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Both of which you can get cold calling.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what the statistics say. But not only that, networking. Like, to get any job, you need to know how to network. And most of networking is cold calling.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think students really realize that. It's not only cold calling, but figuring out how to grab someone's attention and say, look at me over the thousands of other applicants.
Yeah.
And how to provide value to them.
I have two quick things. First of all, every single person in your company should be in the Toastmasters Club. Because
for
$30 or whatever it costs for a six-month period of time, they will get both communication skills and public speaking skills on a weekly basis for an hour. And you're rated by your audience and they count your ums and ahs and all the other crap.
Yeah.
And my second little anecdote is when I was in college taking public speaking, my introduction icebreaker speech was, my student number is whatever, 5432857. And I had a kid in the back of the room said, well, that's funny. You don't look Jewish.
That was my
intro speech.
Yeah,
got an A.
It's interesting. Knowing what I know now about business and life, I'm surprised they don't teach a lot of the things they don't teach in college. Like personal finance, public speaking should be mandatory.
Without a doubt.
Should have real sales.
Yeah, let's see. Modern European history, public speaking.
So diehards, if you're a young salesperson, young entrepreneur out there, or if you know a young salesperson out there, go back and re-listen to what Christian just said, because some of those are the keys to being successful in sales today.
And any job I ever got was through LinkedIn.
Whoa.
Every single one. It was me reaching out to them.
Okay, so now you're hiring a bunch of salespeople,
mm-hmm.
and an applicant comes in the door, and he or she is somewhere between 20 and 25. Is that your average applicant?
18 and 23. 18,
okay, 18 and 23. What do you look for? What's the culture
over by you guys.
Yeah. I mean, willingness to want to do something like this and take a risk is the number one thing.
Okay. So willingness and risk.
Do they get paid if they don't make a sale? Like, is there a base salary?
No, it's strictly commission.
It's all commission.
Even the person who makes it through the summer and, you know, gets like 50 sales, they're still making $3,000. That's more than any of their peers. And the average person makes $10,000. So what I love about this internship is there's a good safety cushion, whereas when I sold business to business, half the college students in the sales force dropped out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Here you're dealing with Mr. or Mrs. Smith at 123 Main Street or Elm Street or Maple Street, and you're talking to them about—
Why are they only tree streets?
Okay, Statue of Liberty Street.
Tree streets
first
are
half,
the best.
They're
right. The buggiest neighborhoods.
Okay,
right.
There we go.
Now, what I want to know is you approach them with a problem. You know, they have, you know, what's the first
Everyone
question?
Everyone has bugs. Whether they know it or not, there's a bug in their house.
Yeah. And what's the first question you teach your sales guys to ask?
Yeah, that's a good question. How are you? I think
that could be part of his secret sauce.
The number one problem I see with our interns are they're just robots. They're immediately like, hey, I'm Christian. I'm with Ruza, yada, yada, yada. They don't slow down and do the antithesis of a used car salesperson and just ask the person how they're doing and say something funny and break the ice and actually establish a connection so their guard goes down because it is a cold call.
It's a cold,
so the first thing
doorbell
I
ring.
Ask is, hey, how are you? And they'll tell me how they are, and I respond in the same type of manner. And I'll try to say, I see you got a good attack dog there. Comment on the university sticker on the back of their car. Just try to, you know, lighten the feels.
And then you give them a little plastic bag with a bug in it.
Yeah, so that's the wrong way to sell.
Oh. Okay, so let's go back. So
all right, there are some people who have been known to actually place bugs on the doorstep.
Oh, how pleasant.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
but there
terrible.
Are there are people who play the inspector role who like Solomon, for instance, he has a glue board and he'll actually collect spiders and attach their legs to the glue board and he'll show them when the time's appropriate if there's certain poisonous spiders in the neighborhood.
Oh.
Yeah.
I saw a snake 2 days ago. I was really creeped out. Anyway, Jeffrey had asked you, and I think we cut you off a little bit, but what you look for when you're recruiting. So the first thing you said was willingness to learn. What else do you look for?
Risk. Willing to take a risk because it's a commission job.
Yeah.
Because if they're totally not interested in it, you know they'd just rather stay at home all summer and have their parents cook every meal and they play Fortnite the whole time.
Right, right.
So we look for that willingness, that hunger. I think anyone can be successful at this as long as they work hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like an athlete. They have a natural talent. And for salespeople, it's the gift of gab. It's communication. But then there's also hard work. So some people are great communicators, but they don't work hard. And they're very talented, but they don't work hard during the summer. And they'll do average. Some people work super hard, but they're not very talented. They'll do average. But if you find someone who's talented, has good nonverbals, you know, smiles, eye contact when they're talking to you. And then if he can take that skill and that talent and also work hard, those are our best sales reps. So we can kind of tell if people have that skill when we interview with them.
I think if I was a millennial right now, cold calling, or I was a young person, I don't want to castigate the whole society because some are Gen Zs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think I'm the cutoff for to be a millennial.
Yeah.
1994.
Yeah. You were born in 1994?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think I would go up to someone's door and I would hold them up a text and say, that says, I'd rather text than talk. How are you today?
Yep.
And they would go, fine. Did you want to text me back or did you want to just
– Oh, yeah.
And now you have their cell phone if they play.
Yeah, well, they have those Sky Bells now, the rings, where you press the button and they just answer through the doorbell.
Yeah, and they're
so
like somewhere else.
I pitch doorbells as much as I pitch humans.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Not quite as much.
So the doorbell's like the new gatekeeper.
Yeah.
The ring.
It's a gatekeeper.
And do you say,
ring.
Hi, my name is Christian and I am a Christian?
People make that joke all the time.
Yeah.
They're like, well, are you Christian?
And you say, what do you
say? Yes.
Yeah. Look, what do you think? I have white Anglo-Saxon Protestant written all over my face.
All right, so switching gears, tell us about your philosophy on learning.
Yeah.
Learning to sell.
I think a lot of people, they don't try to acquire a skill while they're in college. They'll just go through the motions. And I don't mind having fun in college. I had tons of fun in college. But they don't pursue something else besides academia.
College presents no urgency. I'm here like I went to high school. I had to go. I'm in college, but I'm not really directed yet. I don't really have – I'm not going to be – most people, if they're going to be a doctor, they're directed. Or they want to be a lawyer or something, they're directed. But 90-plus percent of the people don't have that same urgency, don't have that same direction. They're still partying on Friday, partying on Saturday, and scraping their ass to school on Monday.
It's a self-created urgency. Like thinking back to when I was in college, I created that urgency for myself to want to have jobs, to want to succeed, and to know what I was going to do after I graduated.
But that's
the
1% that Christian wants to have come work for him.
People need to know that it's okay to risk and fail while they're in college. Maybe not at academics, but try other things and risk and fail. I think the problem with our generation is parents raise their kids way too cautiously. They're like, don't take risks, don't fail. They don't kind of let them go off on their own and
Did
try
you
these
fail?
Things.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've saved up all my money that I worked for in college, and I bought 500 pairs of socks that I designed customly that said, "I love the Dub." And they were socks I was going to sell to my fellow college students when I got to Wilmington, because Wilmington's the Dub. And I failed miserably and had a whole thing of socks and ended up giving socks out for free. So I wasted that money.
Oh, my God.
I've had plenty of failures.
I did something
plenty
similar.
Plenty of failures.
Go ahead.
Like success is not this perpetual straight line that moves up. It's like this. It goes up and back down, up and back down. If you're not going down in your life and failing, you're not going to rise up.
But you learned from that failure, and that was the key.
That's exactly right. And I don't think our generation seeks enough adventure and risk to learn how to fail.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if I was in this interview process and I was you, I would say, listen, this job – I hope you're a risk taker, because you're going to need to be able to risk to take this job. But I also want to talk to you about failure. If you go to knock on doors and you fail 9 out of 10 times, you'll make about $3,000 this summer. And if you go up to doors and you're not that good at failure and you only fail 3 out of 4 times, you'll make $10,000 this summer.
Yeah. What kills me the most is I'll see someone who's extremely talented, who I think if they could work hard, and you never know how hard someone works, they seem sweat, but I could say, I really think you could make $50,000 to $80,000 this summer. And then their parents just won't let them do it. Helicopter parenting. So
really?
I just see a kid's
like
potential.
You can't keep
absolutely
knocking on
you can't go out and make more than the father.
It could have paid for that person's college. Yeah. It could have transformed their life, transformed their career, and their parents just drew a hard line and said no. So that's why I say parenting is part of the problem with the millennial generation, is they're not allowing them to go take risk and to go fail at things.
And do you think that they hang money over their head saying, while I'm paying your college tuition, you're going to do what I tell you to do?
No, yeah, I've heard that. Literally out of these people's mouths that I interview, they say, while my parents are paying for things, they kind of have the control of what I do over the summer.
And what aren't they letting them do? Knock on people's doors?
They don't want them to move to a different city because, you know, you move to a metropolitan city to go mm-hmm. sell. They don't want them to do the commission-only job because it's too risky.
Right, they've got to be a lifeguard at a pool.
Any job has risk because you can get fired.
Of course
Right,
do.
Exactly. At least in a commission-only job.
Yeah. The one thing I do understand is they want their kid to be with them for the summertime. The love aspect. But I feel like if you love your kid enough, you're going to let him create his own path.
Or her, yeah. But yeah. I think that there's – and probably more risk with the female than the male. But I still feel like if you don't let your kids have some wings, you can count on that phone bill coming in every week and having to pay it, or every month. But I think more important than that is the fact that you're giving them the freedom to be themselves. And let them skin their knee and, you know, call up on the phone or text like, hey, I'm bleeding. It ain't the end of the earth.
Okay. So if you're a young salesperson out there and your parents are the helicopter kind of parents, what do you recommend they do when they're selling to get around that?
So in order to be able to do
create their
a
own
risky
freedom, create their own freedom,
yeah.
Take the risky job, even if their parents are like, no, no, no.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think a lot of people give in to their parents' best interest.
Or they say, no, this probably isn't the right thing. My dad's against it. It must not be the right thing.
Yeah.
They trust their father way more than they trust you.
Yeah, and a lot of parents won't draw a hard line. They'll give their best
cents.
Recommendation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're supposed to follow that.
Okay, can you Zoom the parents?
Zoom them?
But see, I don't think he wants to get that involved, right? Like if like the
no,
parents
No, like
are...
I think your kid has great potential. Would you be willing to let him give it a shot?
I would, yeah.
So, but what do you recommend? So we have a lot of listeners who are younger and they may fall into this category where like they want to take that risky job, but they have those helicopter parents
they
who
need,
haven't taken
They
off.
Need to make their very first sale.
Okay.
They need to sell their parents on it. I think too many people just, they're like, mom, dad, I got this this internship offer. We're going to go out to Charlotte, North Carolina, and we're going to go door to door.
And so,
it's my responsibility.
I'm like, hell no.
Yeah, to prepare them for the first sale so they can talk about benefits
of
the job.
What are the opportunities? Mom, if I fail 9 out of 10 times, I can make $3,000 this summer.
Yeah, the safety of the job. Worst case scenario, you know, you just travel back home and the company doesn't charge you anything. It's very, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen is what they need to explain to their parents. And they need to show them how much they really want it.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they live?
They can live anywhere. We had a guy from Pittsburgh drive down and come work with us this summer. So all across the United States, really.
And but they pay for their living?
We provide their living, and if they do above average, there's a certain threshold, we'll pay for all their living for the summer.
Wow. Where do you put them up?
So it's like a free trip to another
nice
city.
Apartment.
That's pretty cool.
In the city, yeah.
That's
so
really
on the
cool.
weekends, they get to explore the city, and we'll take them and do go-karting or do a baseball game. Free dinners. So we try
Sounds
to provide
fun.
It, you know, to be a nice experience for them to where they don't have to sacrifice their fun summer just to come do this.
Cool. So one of the things you mentioned earlier, one of the three keys you mentioned was networking. What are some of your strategies for a young person who has no contacts but needs to make contacts?
Mm-hmm.
How should they start going about networking?
Yeah, well, at any given time, you can't just go up and talk to someone who you need to network with. What's the best tool to use? LinkedIn. I do not see nearly enough college students taking LinkedIn seriously. I was fortunate enough to have a family friend who told me to create a LinkedIn my first semester of my freshman year, and I took it seriously. I put pictures up. I put all my past jobs on there. I started connecting with people. And like I said, it's what got me every single internship I was a part of. And I see that for so many college students, but I don't think nearly enough take advantage of it.
I think that when the hiring person looks at your LinkedIn profile and they see that it's really well done, they look at you a hell of a lot more professionally than if you have shorts and flip-flops.
Yeah, and college students also need to understand that opportunities aren't just going to come to them. If they do, then that's great, but they need to actively seek out opportunities to gain a certain skill set while they're in college, or at the very least, which half the college students don't do, gain a skill set that's complementary to what they're majoring
in. Yeah.
There's so many people who graduate in business or marketing, have no sales experience, and then realize that they have to do inside sales cold calling.
Yeah, they got to go sell a copier.
It's their only option. I say get that experience out of the way while you're in school so you can go straight to a marketing position or a nice outside sales position.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't – they live in the moment.
I can tell you this. Colleges and universities are starting to put sales courses together.
Yeah.
Because
starting.
They realize how important – yeah, starting.
Yeah. No, he's absolutely right. They're just now starting to.
They are, yeah.
When I lived in Indiana – this is a sad but true story. I went to Indiana University because I lived very close by, and I offered to the dean of the business school, who was the head of the economics department, to teach a sales class.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, there's no need for that here. We don't think sales is relevant. And I said, well, I'll just wait till you're fucking dead and then come back. Literally, that's what I told the guy.
Oh, God.
And I mean, I couldn't – in my mind, I couldn't believe how a person's going to start out with a college degree in economics and eke out a living. You know, he's going to – that kid's going to be selling office supplies.
Yeah.
Whether he knows it or not.
Well, whether you're in HR, you're selling the right applicants to come join your business.
Yeah.
If you're in accounting, you're selling people on your accounting services. If you're in finance, you're selling people for your finance services.
Yeah.
If you're in marketing, you need sales experience because you need to know why and how people buy things.
I also think that you might want to consider sitting down in front of a camera and saying, "Hi, my name is Christian. I just offered your son an internship, and I really wanted to let you know what this entails."
Mm-hmm.
Because there's good to it and there's bad to it, but the outcome is going to be largely up to him or her. You make one for men and one for women.
But I think that one of the toughest sales that these kids or young adults are going to encounter is the sale to their parents. If they can't make that sale,
I understand.
Then maybe they shouldn't be selling pest services,
services. It's a creative way to get the attention of the parents and get the right message across without it having to go through the college.
Yeah, so let them tell you what they think of this.
Yeah.
But keep an open mind because there's a lot of – you know, we have hundreds of kids that are making a ton of money and some who don't. Just, you know, let me be fair.
If your kid is lazy,
and that's
your kid
fine.
Doesn't work hard.
Those people are the ones who are most grateful for the opportunity.
Yeah.
The ones who don't do that well because they learn so much about themselves and they learn how to work hard and they still make more money than their friends.
These are the five things they're going to learn. They're going to learn how to take rejection.
Yes.
They're going to learn how to work hard.
How to do their own laundry.
How to talk to strangers.
Literally.
How to talk to strangers. Right. How to be more communicative in a tough situation and how to make a dollar.
Yeah.
I mean, or how to actually earn a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the pieces.
What do you do to encourage – a lot of these kids have never been told no, right? And now they're going door to door and they're getting more no's than yeses most of the time.
Right.
Well, how do you get them to bounce back after a no? What do you tell them to think about or to do?
Yeah, it's very simple. People take it personally. They take rejection personally. And as soon as you flip the switch and realize that they're saying no to your offer and realize that not everyone needs pest control and you're qualifying people, then rejection is nothing.
Right. Right.
It's nothing. People take it personally, and they think they're trying to sell every single person that looks them in the eyes. That's not the case. You only try to sell people who are qualified, whether they have a company and take interest into what you're doing or whether they respond to your initial approach where you say, "I'm doing it for half off." And they say, "What's that?" or "What do you do?"
Yeah.
But if they don't do that, then you politely say, "It's super nice to meet you. It's nice to meet your dog."
Exactly.
And then you leave.
All right, diehards. We're done with Christian for the day, but I'm challenging you right now. Every time you see a bug, you think of Christian Ludwig.
Christian, where should people go to get more info if they want to apply for a job or even get your pest control services?
Yeah, I'd like them to personally reach out to me.
Okay.
Christian@aruzapest.com.
How do we spell Aruza?
Aruza.
And you can there look you in go. The show notes.
Yeah, it's right in the show notes.
You'll be able to find Christian very easily. You'll find him to be an amazing young man and he's on his way to the moon.
And last piece of advice.
Yeah.
Stay out of New Jersey.
Never compare yourself to other people who are doing what you're doing. Compare yourself to who you were yesterday and strictly just try to be the best version of yourself.
If you're a sales leader and you just heard this segment and you're thinking, "Man, I really should get that Gittimer Learning Academy," stop. You need to get the Learning Academy for your entire team so they can get better. And you can track, measure, and monitor everybody on your team after they've taken the assessment and learn about how good they are and or where they need help. And you as their leader can now actually coach them to victory.
If you're a strong, smart, successful sales manager and you want to be featured in our Sales Manager Spotlight series on Sell or Die, all you need to do is email sellordie@gittimer.com. If you know someone or you have a favorite sales manager who's amazing and should be featured, nominate them at sellordie@gittimer.com. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Sell. Hell or Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.